Good afternoon, it's March 22nd, and you're listening to the Solidarity Journal on WAZU-FM Community Radio. I'm a little sick, under the weather, got a stuffy nose and a cough, but we're going to make it through. I'd like to start things off with a song, Strike a Blow Against the Empire by David Robins.
When the rich man on the TV said this world's mine, when he asked which side you're on, told you to step in line.
Top story in the fight for a just economy. Illinois' Representative Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, who represents our northern 9th district of the greater Chicago area, has introduced a bill to tax millionaires and billionaires. Congresswoman Schakowsky introduced the Fairness in Taxation Act, which would create new tax brackets for millionaires and billionaires. She's being backed by 9 other Democratic congressmen and women. This legislation is appealing. 81% of American people who were polled say that to balance a budget, we should increase taxes on the wealthiest among us. You've got to love that idea. If enacted in 2011, the Fairness in Taxation Act would raise more than $78 billion. She's gaining key support. Keep your eyes and ears open for this legislation as it moves toward a more just taxation system. Not to mention it's born right here in Illinois. In labor news, in Wisconsin, on Saturday, the 12th, another massive protest, now in response to Governor Walker and the state Republicans, who found a way to split the bill and pass the legislation that will strip public sector workers of most of their collective bargaining rights. They passed this legislation without the 14 Democrats in person to vote. As many of you know, the 14 Democrats are still in our great state of Illinois, striking in a way all their own by refusing to partake in the legislative process. Nevertheless, and besides that, Republicans have undermined democracy and legislated without full representation of the people of Wisconsin present. Members of the AFL-CIO are actually verbalizing the makings of a general strike. We've got some audio from Wisconsin. I'd like to go to that now.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Well over 100,000 people demonstrated and marched for worker rights in Madison, Wisconsin over the weekend during a day-long rally that included a farm labor tractorcade. 50 tractors joined firefighters, off-duty police, teachers, and other people of all ages from every walk of life in solidarity against the gutting of collective bargaining rights for Wisconsin public workers. Wisconsin's Fab 14 state Democratic senators, who had been blocking a vote destroying public worker collective bargaining, returned from Illinois to a hero's welcome in Madison. Senate Minority Leader Mark Miller.
We have returned to Wisconsin to thank the people who have, with their voices and their marches and their rallies here in Madison and around the state, to protest the stripping away of the rights of employees in the state of Wisconsin. They have inspired us. They have created a new dynamic, a new political dynamic in the state of Wisconsin that says, respect workers, respect citizens. We are here to join them in that fight.
Senator Fred Risser is in his 80s and has been serving in the state Senate since the 1950s.
The war is not over. The fight for workers' rights is continuing. It's a real privilege to participate in this, and I want to thank everyone who has helped us on this. The people, the crowds around the Capitol, we watched those on TV, and they were stimulating to us, and they kept us going. It's a remarkable experience. It's not over yet.
The battle to recall senators who voted to gut collective bargaining is underway.
Workers' rights under attack. What do we do?
Money and signatures for the recalls, including one aimed at Governor Walker, were being collected at the rally.
It's about the recall.
I thought you couldn't do it until January.
Yeah, we're trying to get names now for January, and for the senators as well.
Wisconsin's Democrat Secretary of State, Doug La Follette, is delaying the collective bargaining law's implementation by refusing to officially publish it until later this month. The law doesn't go into effect until March 26th, a day after he officially publishes it, and that will allow more time for legal challenges to the law.
Words from the state senator were pretty powerful, talking of inspiration and whatnot. That's really great. The sad state of affairs in Wisconsin, but even sadder is that it's spreading. Much of the same attacks on labor that we see in Wisconsin are growing in Michigan. Leaders of Michigan labor unions are fighting proposals in the Republican-dominated Michigan legislature that they say would erode collective bargaining rights. The Michigan AFL-CIO said Monday it opposes more than 30 bills pending in the legislature, including those that would give emergency financial managers of cities and schools the power to terminate labor union contracts. Unions representing public employees also are opposing bills that would change how binding arbitration works for police and fire departments. Now, you know I've got some audio from the state of affairs in Michigan, so let's hear that right now.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of workers and their supporters sent a message to the Republican government of Michigan on Wednesday. Jesse Russell reports.
Thousands descended on the capital of Michigan Wednesday to express their concerns over legislation that would grant the state the power to appoint emergency financial managers who could strip teachers and workers of collective bargaining rights. The taxpayers were also concerned about a budget that provides $1.8 billion in tax cuts to business, while making up for those cuts on the backs of low-income workers. Michigan Nurses Association President Jeff Breslin.
It's a personal insult to nurses and to everybody here to watch as our state government deliberately and maliciously propose laws that leave deep, bleeding cuts in our patients, our families, and our communities' lives.
Jerry Alpizer is a small business owner from Traverse City, Michigan, and he wanted to know where his tax break is.
And I count myself among you because I don't get tax breaks. If I don't make money, I don't get a bailout. This trickle-down crap is over.
State Senator Coleman Young Jr., son of Detroit's first African-American mayor, told the crowd that it was time to draw a line in the sand.
If we rise with one voice and say, you will not take our rights, you will not take our liberties, and we will not let this day give us liberty or give us death.
Give me liberty or give me death. Great speaker. Patrick Henry said that in the church in Richmond, Virginia, during revolutionary times. And just like the times today, these times are revolutionary. So no truer words have been spoken. That was a great, great use of historical words there. You know, as always, I'd like to thank Workers Independent News for letting us use their sound bites and headlines. You can check them out at laborradio.org. I'd say it's time for a musical break. Let's get into it with Jim Croce, Working at the Car Wash Blues.
Just got out from the county prison, doing 90 days for non-support. Tried to find me an executive position, but no matter how smooth I talk, they wouldn't listen to the fact that I was a genius. The man said we got all that we can use. Now I got them steadily depressing, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash blues. Say, hey now, mama, come on over here. Instead, I'm stuck here, rubbing these fenders with a rag, and walking home in soggy old shoes. With them steadily depressing, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash blues. You know, a man of my ability, he should be smoking on a big cigar. But till I get myself straight, I guess I'll just have to wait in my rubber suit, rubbing these cars. Well, all I can do is to shake my head. You might not believe it is true, but working at this end on Niagara Falls is a undiscovered Howard Hughes. So baby, don't expect to see me with no double martini in my eyebrow society news. I got them steadily depressing, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash blues. So baby, don't expect to see me with no double martini in my eyebrow society news. 'Cause I got them steadily depressing, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash blues. Yeah, I got them steadily depressing, low down, mind messing, working at the car wash blues.
Oh, that was sweet. Gotta love that. But this is a news show after all, so I can't really review the music, but I can review the news. Let's talk about our green economy and the future of it. But more importantly, let's talk about how the right-wing efforts to stop the growth of our green economy exist, specifically in high-speed rail. On March 15th, the Obama administration took back the $2.4 billion that they allocated to Florida for high-speed trains, and the Obama administration is inviting other states to apply for the money. The third governor to be offered federal funding for high-speed rail turned it down. Governor Rick Scott of Florida. He follows the same trend of the two other funding deniers before him. Much talked about Republican Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin and Ohio Republican Governor John Kasich, I think that's how you pronounce it, also turned down federal funding and job creation for high-speed rail. An Illinoisan of our own, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, gave the Florida governor until March 4th to decide what to do with the funding.
We believe America is ready to embrace a new level of passenger rail service that offers safe, convenient, and a sustainable way to travel from city to city. We're not aiming to replace the interstate system that has served us for decades, but we do want to offer people a choice to leave their cars behind, reduce fuel consumption, and cut back on emissions. That's why we need high-speed rail.
Projects like high-speed rail would, in the short term, create a large, diverse batch of jobs in areas that could use the boost. And that's not just the findings of LaHood or the Council of Economic Advisors. Numerous nonpartisan studies have confirmed that rail projects would be effective in creating thousands of jobs, which is why the governor's rejections of rail projects amounts to another slap in the face of the American middle class. At the same time that these same state politicians are finding room in their budget for tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy, they deem it too fiscally imprudent to accept federal funding for rail that could create much-needed jobs for hard-hit sectors like construction. Studies indicate that despite the noise made by detractors, rail would be a profitable enterprise. The Florida line, for instance, would operate at a surplus its first year in service. For these governors, denying rail projects has nothing to do with actual fiscal austerity and everything to do with winning political points by rebuffing Obama and making a show of cutting supposed wasteful spending. But the truth is that their decisions are causing the middle class to lose out big time, both now and in the future, when millions of Americans would benefit from less congestion, cleaner air, new economic development, and more comfortable, sustainable long-distance travel. It's a shame that we can't see a more cooperative federalist relationship between states and the federal government, where states would accept federal grants and follow on the orders of the federal government. Our national parks, highways, airports, our infrastructure as we know it, was born out of that cooperation. If we were to remember the past, we might have a brighter future. Anyway, stay tuned and dig this song. Yeah, that was Collective Soul. Mid-90s track. I guess it's not really that old, but some of you might not get it. News. More bad news for public workers and public organizing power. Despite their general centrist stance towards many things, the House voted to defund NPR, which received almost $5 million in federal funding in 2010. That year, its revenues also included $2.8 million in dues and $63 million in programming fees from local stations. Under the bill, stations would still be allowed to buy NPR programs using private funds, but not federal funds. A quote from Representative Doug Lamborn, a Republican from Colorado, "It is time for American citizens to stop funding an organization that can stand on its own feet." Representative Lamborn is the sponsor of the bill. He said it was not a question of content, which many conservatives say has a liberal bias, but whether taxpayer dollars should go to non-essential services. Quote, "As a country, we no longer have this luxury." Other Republicans also denied that the measure was a vendetta against NPR. Democrats retorted that the legislation would do nothing to reduce the deficit and would be a blow to local public stations that rely on the national programs that include Morning Edition and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me to attract listeners. "This bill would pull the plug," said Representative Ed Markey. "It would snuff out stations from coast to coast, many in rural areas where the public radio station is the primary source of news and information." The Obama White House said it strongly opposed the bill, saying, "Undercutting funding for these radio stations, notably ones in rural areas where such outlets are already scarce, would result in communities losing valuable programming, and some stations could be forced to shut down altogether. This indicates that the president might not sign it into law. It moves to the Democrat-controlled Senate for a vote." You know, this is just my opinion, but it seems to me, when public money isn't spent on the public, we have a problem. This will only encourage the death of public radio stations and grow more of the same commercial media, music, and garbage that is shoveled down our throats. Also, it's the start of what could be long-term government decisions that encourage more and more profit-motivated commercial news and ideas. To over-exaggerate, decisions of this nature are the makings of governments' attempts at thought control. That's just my opinion. The less and less independence in media there is, the more and more profit motivation of a whatever sells will decide mentality, becoming the commercial conversations of the office water cooler and dinner topics of American family dining rooms. Profit-seeking pushers of ideas know that if they can get us to regurgitate their propaganda day in and day out, they will be profitable. Meanwhile, we will continue to pay taxes and receive no services. In not so lighter news, but more hopeful, revolutionary news from abroad, British and French military aircraft are protecting the Libyan rebel stronghold of Benghazi after the UN Security Council voted in favor of a no-fly zone and airstrikes against Muammar Gaddafi's forces. These two European strikes agree with the overthrowing of an old regime and encourage the making of a new one, for what it's worth. And what it's worth will be decided by the Libyan people. Keep your eyes and ears open to this story. And as always, you're listening to WAZU 90.7 FM Community Radio, a service of Illinois Central College. Keep it tuned in. More news is next.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, "John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter,
Tell them that God's gonna cut them down. Tell them that God's gonna cut them down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Johnny Cash, the man in black himself. News from the front. The anti-war, anti-consumerism battle rages on. A key battleground in Chicago last weekend proved 1,500 rebel rousers still agree war has to end and vain amounts of consumption has to end. On Saturday, March 19th, the 8th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan, the 1,500 marched down Michigan Avenue in the face of the blissfully ignorant shoppers. We chanted, "While you're shopping, bombs are dropping." Another chance. I had a conversation with Andy Thayer, an organizer of this event. He filled me in on the history of the march and plans for the future. Let's tune into that. Stay with us. You don't want to miss this.
Well, all right, tell me a few things. Can we step away from this music?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little hard of hearing, in case you couldn't tell, Zach. That's
cool.
That's why you became Fred.
That's right. All right, so how many years has this been going on?
This has been going on since the night the war began on March 20th, 2003. We had a march of 15,000 on Lakeshore Drive, shutting down the drive, marching a mile north on the drive. The police, they had to allow it to happen. They didn't have any choice. People were so pissed off that all the politicians' promises and so forth. We all know it's garbage. And people were so pissed off, they decided to take matters in their own hands. They did that night. That night was also, much later, the single largest mass arrest in Chicago history, when the police took revenge on the demonstrators and arrested over 900 of us, which spawned a National Lawyers Guild class action suit against the city of Chicago, where just literally 2 days ago, we won an appeal where the suit will be going forward to trial against the city of Chicago. It was all the charges in that mass arrest of over 900 people were dropped. In fact, today we will be marching up right past the place where that mass arrest of us took place, and we will definitely be making note of that.
What is the route?
We're going to be going north on Michigan Avenue here to Chicago and ending at Water Tower Park, which is right by Chicago in Michigan. And we had to battle literally for years for the right to march on Michigan Avenue. The city of Chicago fought us tooth and nail, taking us to court several times, suing us. There was really a protracted battle simply to reestablish the right to assemble and protest a meaningful location in the city following 9/11 and following the invasion of Iraq.
This is also the 8th anniversary of your first protest here.
That's right.
And also the 8th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan.
That's right. And we've seen President Obama escalate the war in Afghanistan.
Hello.
To the point where we've got the largest number of people killed this past year in that war. We've just recently, last month, had the U.S. ambassador to Iraq say that maybe the United States won't pull out this year. Surprise, surprise. Another administration lies about war. I mean, we've been seeing this throughout the history of this country, and it really pisses me off that people keep on getting fooled by, oh, if we get a Democratic president, things are going to be really different. You look at the history of war, and actually the Democrats are even a little bit more responsible for war historically than the Republicans have been.
There's a line of cops just down the way there. You can see them in their fluorescent jumpsuits. What is that about? Is that for this?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Historically, they have used riot police against us. You look at the images of March 20th, 2003. For years, they would literally surround the demonstrators, not allowing people to join the demonstration freely or leave the demonstration freely. The intimidation that the Chicago police and the Illinois State Troopers used against anti-war demonstrations in particular showed that even though there was no significant law breaking that they could finger on anyone, that they decided they were going to do everything they could to intimidate people from exercising their First Amendment rights.
Do you anticipate any arrests today?
No, I don't. We're in a rebuilding phase in the anti-war movement, quite frankly. I think the bloom's come off the Obama rose. Many people are realizing that when they voted for peace in 2008, that they were fooled. Some of us said,
yes.
This is what would happen, and we kept in the streets. But I think, as the people of Egypt have shown, and in other countries across North Africa, getting into the streets is the first step in dealing with corrupt and illegal governments. The Obama administration, of course, is continuing the extraordinary rendition, tortures, supporting brutal dictatorships like the Saudi and Bahraini monarchies. I think Egypt really showed that you have to get out on the streets to begin the process of change, but I think Egypt also showed that getting out into the streets is not enough. Few people in this country know that it was when people in Egypt began a massive strike action the morning following Mubarak's announcement that he was going to stay in office to the end of the term. That is what made the Egyptian military, itself a big business in Egypt, decide that Mubarak had to go. And I think whether it's people in Wisconsin or people here in Illinois, we need to take a page from our Egyptian brothers and sisters and say, yes, it's important to get in the streets. This popularizes the issue. This spreads the message. But embarrassing the police by being in public square is not going to be enough to actually stop a war or bring down a dictatorship. You have to hit them where it hurts, and that's in the economy. And I really hope that Wisconsin workers and others facing these really devastating attacks learn that lesson.
Yeah, I was in Wisconsin. And as we're standing here, I'm noticing all these testaments to the strength of our economy all around us, these tall buildings.
Yeah.
How could this system ever be stopped from being a oil and war producing system? That's its function. How could it ever be stopped?
Well, I think people have to take control for themselves. I mean, the vast majority of human existence, so-called hunter-gatherer societies, human beings cooperated with each other in order to survive. They would not have survived without that cooperation. Our present capitalist system is one based on competition, and any means, nefarious included, are included. And so if you have to cut corners on safety on a nuclear power plant, if you sell arms to a brutal dictatorship, that's all fair game. And I think it just shows how destructive our present mode of existence is, to the point that it threatens our existence. But I think to those who say that it's human nature, that people are greedy, that people are warlike, and this is the only way that we can survive, and we just got to deal with it, I think that a true history shows that is not the case, that human beings can survive in a very different way. The problem is that the people at the top This country and countries around the world have a vested interest in the completely dysfunctional setup that we have right now. And so it's going to take people rising from the bottom up, like they did in Egypt and like they are doing across North Africa, to change that. It's the only way we can survive.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Could you state your name?
Andy Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R. I'm with the Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism and also the Gay Liberation Network.
All right, Andy.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. I'll be enjoying the protest and the march, and hopefully I'll see you around.
Okay, thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the trek.
Powerful opinions. Powerful opinions which have borne marches and maneuvers on city centers across the world. This one in our own backyards. My time up there for the march was pretty incredible. I marched with a band. I banged on a drum that I made from a bucket that was given to me by one of the other marchers. It was great. When we arrived at our destination and the march ended, I was sad, really. I wanted there to be, something. I wanted there to be something. Hopefully we showed the public that there's hope for change. Hopefully we showed the public that people have a voice. Hopefully we showed the public that there's something to do other than the status quo. And hopefully we showed Michigan Avenue that there's more to do than just shop. Before the march, public space was taken over, a band played, and 20 or so speakers spoke on the problems they see in our present state and solutions they imagined. Check it out.
Repression at home. Please welcome Jolene.
Democracy across the globe, particularly today in the Middle East and North Africa. From Tunisia to Egypt to Bahrain to Libya and to Iraq, people are standing up and demanding their rights. Yes, Iraq. 8 years after the invasion and subsequent occupation of Iraq, the people of Iraq are gathering in the streets to demand freedom and democracy from the oppressive regime that was imposed by the United States. They are being met by arrests. 300 were arrested at their day of rage. Two of the independent media offices that we know of have been vandalized, their equipment destroyed. Three reporters have gone missing. They have turned up after much outcry from their U.S. allies. They are protesting, asking for freedom, democracy, and electricity. Yes, after 8 years, electricity. The Obama administration fears free and independent countries abroad as much as it fears a militant and organized working class. The empire thrives not just on wars alone. It also needs our wealth. Oh, that's right. They already have it. After the most massive transfer of wealth in history, they are now after what little we have left, our dignity and our rights to organize. Across the Midwest, we are seeing attacks on organized labor, on working class in general. The good news is the working class is standing up.
We are finding inspiration
from the working people.
With that, I'm going to introduce our next speaker. We have a labor organizer in the area of healthcare, who is instrumental in helping to organize some of the protests in Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Please welcome Austin Thompson.
When workers' rights are under attack, what do? Stand up, fight back. When workers' rights are under attack, what do?
Stand up, fight back.
When workers' rights are under attack, what do?
Stand up, fight back.
Sisters and brothers, I hope you're ready to stand up and fight back. In Wisconsin, where I come from, we've seen thousands of people a week ago from today. Over 180,000 people went to Madison, Wisconsin to fight against the attack on workers' rights. Thousands more around the country are beginning to wake up and fight back. Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, has unleashed an attack on workers unlike we've seen over the last 40 years. And this motto is being adopted throughout the country and other states to take away the collective bargaining rights of any worker is wrong.
That's right.
When they say that we should cut back on our pensions, on our health care, while the very wealthy get tax breaks and government bailouts, we say, hell no! When they say that workers are the cause of the crisis that we all know Wall Street and the corporations created, and they expect us to pay for it, we say, hell no! The excuse that they use to cut our health care and education is that there's no money. Scott Walker says we're broke. The Koch brothers, the two billionaire brothers who bankroll Scott Walker's attack on workers, they say that we're broke, we have no money. But if we tax the Koch brothers by 1.2%, we could solve Wisconsin's budget crisis. That's why we say tax, tax, tax the rich. Tax, tax, tax the rich.
Tax, tax, tax the rich.
Tax, tax, tax the rich.
Tax, tax, tax the rich.
We have to stand up because right now, the corporations and the banks are preparing an onslaught on the U.S. working class. Sisters and brothers, this is a war. A war in the United States of America. A war between organized money and organized people. We have to get organized. Citizens United allowed organized money to spend unlimited amounts of money to break the backs of workers in the U.S. The only way to fight back is to organize ourselves, to take to the streets and follow the example of our sisters and brothers in Cairo and in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes!
In closing, yes! To win, you are next. You are next. These attacks will not stop in Madison. They won't stop in Wisconsin. They're coming through Illinois and across the state unless we fight back. So what we need to do, sisters and brothers, is unite and fight back. When workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? What do we do?
Everybody knows the economy is in the crapper, right? Is that the fault of the workers, the public sector workers that are being scapegoated right now? No! We were in Madison, Wisconsin last weekend with over 100,000 people, and I'm sure a lot of you were too. We know it's not their fault. Like the brother earlier said, it's the fault we need to tax the rich, but the other side of the coin is war spending. In the last 10 years, we've spent over $1 trillion on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's ridiculous. My daughter, her entire life, we have been at war, and she and all of her classmates, your children, and their children are going to be paying off this war because it's all been on the credit card. Over $1 trillion in debt because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We could have taken that money and made a huge public works thing and hired 15 million people at $50,000 a piece to build roads and bridges here in the U.S. where we need them. But instead, we took that money and we bought roads and bridges and people in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and maybe in Libya. This is outrageous. The other side of the coin is that that's over and above the cost that we spend every year in our discretionary budget.
Open it up, honey.
We spend, in the Obama 2012 budget, we spend 60% on the military. We need to move the money from the Pentagon and bring it to the people.
Yeah!
The Republicans are proposing cuts right now that would affect Illinois residents. If they get the $61 billion in cuts that they're proposing, we will lose 5,500 Head Start places. And in a state that has 600,000 unemployed people, it would cut 160,000 spots in workforce training. This is not acceptable. We need to move the money from the Pentagon and bring it to the people. You need to tell your friends and neighbors, change the narrative. War spending and military spending is out of control. Please join us at AFSC.org to find out more actions that you can take. And join us April 9th at the AFSC. office. We're going to have a meeting of people who want to work on this issue. Thank you.
Works for the public good. Steve Edwards is president of Ask Me Local 2848. He's a human service caseworker here in Chicago, and he's a proud member of the Socialist Alternative.
Has anybody been to Madison recently?
Yeah!
You know, a lot has been said about the so-called leading men in this cast of characters. Scott Walker, the Fab 14, the Ed Show, and now a leading lady, the judge who has put that law on hold. I want to say something about the people who really started this movement. Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, Jordan, and now in Libya. And the 200,000 workers from Wisconsin and across the Midwest who were inspired by those movements to take over the state capital and to prevent the Democrats from entering. Because it was the students and the TAs, let's not forget this, who prevented the Fab 14 from doing what the Democrats normally do, which is to cave in when the Republicans go on the attack. And that's what's enabled the Democrats this time to appear to be heroes in opposition. But of course we know very well from bitter experience that they're only heroes in opposition in order the more effectively to sell us out, to sell us down the bloody river when they get back into office. Because that's what they've done for generations. The Democrats are where movements go to die.
Right.
And I'm very proud to be speaking here to this movement, to the Chicago Coalition, to an organization,
like
the Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism, which has stood completely away from the trap of the Democrats. And it's also a distinct honor, by the way, to follow the distinguished attorney with the news about that. And yes, I was there. A whole bunch of us were there. My kids were there the day when, and I remember having that argument with a policeman, of course. Well, you didn't tell us to leave. So this is an amazing moment in history. What changes history? What puts a stop to wars? The masses on the streets, the masses organizing in their neighborhoods, the workers organizing in their workplaces. That's what changes history. As trade union activists, anti-war activists, we know that we have to connect with the rest of the working class in order to be effective. To end the war, we have to fight the cuts. We need to build democratically structured coalitions, grassroots organizations, not top-down coalitions, to fight the cuts and for public education, for a massive program of rebuilding public infrastructure, a single-payer health system paid for by taxes on the rich, and an end to the wars. Tax the rich, end the wars. Tax the rich, end the wars.
Deportations group. They led a feeder march and arrived here in the plaza a little while ago. So let's hear it for the undocumented youth. I'm next going to introduce John Beecham. John is a member of the Illinois Education Association. He's an organizer with the Answer Coalition in Chicago and is a member of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Let's hear it for John.
Sisters and brothers, it's great to be in the streets with you today, standing up against the war, standing against U.S. Occupation and U.S. supported occupation. Right now, French jets, U.S. warships, and President Obama just announced that the U.S. is readying a missile attack on Libya. We must stand together, stand strong, stand united, send a message to our sisters and brothers in the Middle East that we oppose any and all U.S. and UN intervention in Libya or anywhere else in the Middle East. Our government, the U.S. government, well, it's not our government, it's a government of the rich. Let's be honest, let's be upfront about it. This government serves the interests of the rest of the rich at home and in the Middle East. This government is supporting the Yemeni crackdown on the protesters there. It's holding up the royalty, the monarchy in Bahrain as they crack down on protesters. It's occupying Iraq and bringing devastation to the Iraqi people. It's funding occupation in Palestine. Without U.S. aid, the occupation of Palestine, the Israeli racist apartheid state, would be impossible. The U.S. is funding occupation in Afghanistan and dropping bombs on Pakistan. Is it possible that Washington and the Pentagon are bringing humanitarian intervention to Libya? No, it is not, sisters and brothers. Let us not be fooled. Let us be clear about this. The attack of the French and the British and the United States on Libya is meant to turn back and defeat the movements in the Middle East that are struggling for freedom and liberation from U.S.-supported dictators. The occupations of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Palestine, and this new war on Libya, and the U.S.-supported crackdown in the Middle East are one and the same as the war against us here at home. Right now, the government's telling us that there's not enough money for social services, there's not enough money for education, there's not enough money for healthcare. That's a lie. There's plenty of money. They've just given it to the billionaires. The real criminals, sisters and brothers, the real criminals are in Wall Street and in the Pentagon. The criminals who have jailed Bradley Manning for standing up and telling the truth, if that's what he indeed did do. And the real criminals are the ones who let Governor Walker in Wisconsin roam the streets free instead of being in jail. So let's stand together, sisters and brothers. U.S. out of the Middle East, no war on Libya, and the occupation of Iraq, Palestine, and Afghanistan now.
Well, feel that constant change, no things will never be the same for me, my friends.
Revolutions in the streets, the youth are arising, working men and women are standing up for their rights, people are going crazy there. It's an intense time, purely motivated. I want to share my motivation with the rest of you, my listeners, the rest of the people out there. Get up, read your books, do your homework, find a good job, and change the way things are, because it's all of us who have the power to do so. It's only through a democracy that we can do that. And here we are, granted this great revolutionary idea of democracy, and here it is, it's being taken away, it's being shit on, it's being manipulated, and it's on the backs of us. It's on the backs of the working class, students, everybody. Time will only tell. What will we do? What will we do with this democracy? Let's use it. Let's work it. Send me your feedback at zackteague@live.com. That's ZACKTEAGUE @live.com. Find the Solidarity Journal group page on Facebook and find an outlet for your voice at WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria Community Radio, a service of Illinois Central College. Locate them on the web, too. I'm not sure about the website yet. I'll get it in a minute. Moral support for the Solidarity Journal, happily given from the Global Village of Peoria Heights. fair trade goods, coffee and teas. Global Village has a lending library of DVDs and books. They sell clothing and shoes, and everything is fair trade and slavery free. They are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesdays through Saturday. The Global Village in Peoria Heights. Produced on the East Peoria campus of Illinois Central College, in the studios of WAZU 90.7 FM, a Pacifica affiliate.
Feel that constant change, no things will never be the same for me, my friends.